right, we are back. Right Side Radio, Phil Williams covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, listen, we got a ton of stuff going on. I got to tell you, if you haven't already checked it out, it's a bit freakish for me. I'm sitting here, and it's one thing to recognize that my voice is on the radio. That's been going on for a year. Phil, get used to it. I'm not used to it. I'm still not used to it. But here's the other thing that we're doing, in case you did not already know. We are actually now live streaming the show. That's right. Even though I have a face made for radio, we are sitting here in the Right Side studio and literally, you know, broadcasting the live stream. If I'm rattling paper or waving my hands, you can see me do it now. So if you want to check that out, if you want to see the live stream of the show, just go to rightsideradio.org. That's our website. There's a tab on there you click on that says live video and podcast. Yep, that's it. It's also got, by the way, the ability for you to click on the audio stream. So if you're anywhere in the world and all you want to do is hear the voice or voices, then literally just click on that. That's why we have so many people that call in from like out of state and send emails from all other places that are way outside the AM/FM. Which, by the way, now the AM/FM capability of this show is pretty significant. Going on the air at 2 o'clock every day, we are literally covering from Clanton to the Tennessee line, from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, sweeping some into Tennessee, Georgia, and Mississippi. It's pretty cool. And I don't think we should stop there. I think we just keep on marching our way toward the coast. But I guess, living in the South, I probably shouldn't say march to the coast. That doesn't go over very well. But anyway, nonetheless, something else that's happening, and Birdman reminded me of this yesterday. So the podcast, every single day for the last year, Copper has taken the show, broke it down into, you know, manageable segments, like my Right Side Way monologue or Her Copper's Corner or an interview with somebody. They're separate segments, and then drops them in place where Birdman can get them, and he uploads them into every form of podcasting known to man, I think. But if you're a Podbeaner, if you're a Google, if you're a Apple iTunes podcast or whatever, same page on the website. Go check it out, rightsideradio.org, the live video, the podcast. You go on there, you can find yours or download it from whatever app you use. But here's the bottom line is we've got like 62,000 downloads and growing. We got a lot of people that have signed up and gotten it. And I would encourage you to do that, but do this for me if you wouldn't mind. There's a way that you can actually give us ratings that will help us to trend. And so I would appreciate it. If you get an opportunity to do a rating on our show's podcast, please do it. We'd love as many stars as you're willing to pass out, which is interesting because the logo for Right Side Radio is a gold star. Oh, didn't you think about that just now? Boomer, I used a gold star and we're asking for gold stars. That's good. I'd like 5 gold stars. But all said and done, folks, tons of stuff on that website. Check it out, rightsideradio.org. Also, I could just say this, though. In fact, my marketing folks would fuss if I didn't. We're hiring right now. If you are looking for a gig and you would like to work for the Right Side team, if you're the kind of person who can shake hands and look someone in the eye, you can make your hours, you can get out there and hustle, then we want to talk to you. And right now we are expanding and we need people in multiple points around the state. So if you are interested in that, just go to that website once again, rightsideradio.org. There's a means by which you can drop down on the first page. You can drop down the whole job description of what we're hiring, who we're looking for. Check that out. Contact us. We've had 3 in the last few days for the very same way. So yeah, check it out. We'd love to have you. In fact, I just saw that Heather from the marketing section has just sent me an email with an update on some of that. So that's cool. Listen, check it out. All right. So here, coming up next, I got to tell you, I'm going to dive into this topic. It's one that is like people look at it and go, okay, what is that real? What is that? Hadn't that been around for a while? SEL. Now, some of you who've been tracking this, I just said SEL and your hackles went up and the red flag started flying. Like you're leaning forward in your chair. What's he going to say? Some of you are like, what is that? SEL. It's an acronym. It stands for social emotional learning. What is that? Well, you know what? It's been around for a bit. It seemed pretty benign for the longest time. It was literally the idea of making sure that kids understand how to feel good about themselves and to, you know, recognize that bullying is wrong and putting things in place that sort of helped not only just learn, but also when you're struggling with the class, it's not you that's wrong, little Johnny. It's the fact that we just need to help you get through this process and you're going to learn this. Don't worry, bud. We're going to help you. It's moved past that. It's become far more activist. I'm going to lay it out for you from, you know, soup to nuts. When did this start? Has it been bipartisan in the past? Yeah. Wasn't it even used in, you know, the Trump administration's Department of Education? Yeah, it was. What changed? Maybe the Biden administration came in 2020 and a lot changed. And now the organization that is the lead organization for SEL curriculums has gone completely woke. And there are things happening that are being fed into our schools that have no business being there. And so that's going to be the first segment here in just a minute. And I will tell you this. If you're listening in our Huntsville market right now, at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, Angela McClure, who's running for the school board, is going to be on to talk about some firsthand information she has. She actually has it in her hand. She sent me a copy of it, of an email that's going to probably curl some of your hair. But then on top of that, you've heard me say on this show before, those of you that have been with us, the Huntsville City Schools still has a curriculum in place called No Place for Hate. Sounds great. No Place for Hate. There's no place for hate. Hate has no place in our schools, unless you redefine hate to mean that if you don't allow children to use their pronouns, and oh, by the way, make sure on page 27 it says that you don't tell the parents because it might cause friction at home. And if there's behavioral issues, don't report those to the school or to the parents. You go ahead and call the organization, the Anti-Defamation League, that put this together and tell them. Why is that in our schools? Well, it is. It is right now. Listen, we're about to take a break right now. I can feel the break coming. See, I told you. I can just sense it. Boomer is like, I lay in bed at night and I'm going, we should be going to break right now. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here in the Right Side Studios. Yep, indeed. Local, state, and national stuff. All of the issues, solid, conservative, just plain right. All right, listen, now I'm going to jump right into number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling this section, They Want Our Kids. Now, some would say, oh, Phil, you're being inflammatory. Sure I am. That's what I do. I'm a radio guy. But I'm also inflammatory with the truth. How about that? They want our kids. Liberals do. I mean, let's make no bones about it. That's why you see some of the things that I'm about to describe to you. Like the teachers unions, National Association, the NEA just had their big conference. They might as well just call it the woke conference. And I'll give you some clear indications of why I say that in a minute. But you know, there's a lot of reasons why parents are looking for some choices. And later, in probably in the near future, as a matter of fact, I'll do another segment on school choice. We have got to get Alabama into a place where we provide options for parents and legal guardians of kids so they are not just slaved to the schools that they are zip coded to. And some would say, Phil, you were there. You passed the Accountability Act in 2013 when you were in the Senate. Yeah, I know. It's very limited in scope. It's what we could pass at the time. We cracked that ice, man. We got the first ever school choice measure passed. We were able to modify it slightly over the next couple of years. Have you seen anything since then? No. And yet, where are we right now in Alabama? National rankings, 50th in the nation. That is horrible. We are dead last in the nation in education. And there are other states that spend less per student and have school choice options who are doing better than us. And we have limited school choice, and we spend tons per student, but we're still 50th in the nation. What does that tell you? Apparently, it's not what we spend, it's how we spend it. Apparently, it's not the notion that we don't have what we need, it's that we don't use what we got. Now, there are things we can improve facilities-wise. There's things like broadband that we might be able to put into place, but there's reasons why parents want choice that go even beyond just the quality of the education. Sometimes what they want to do is they want to get their kids out of an environment where things that they value as parents are just either not being taught or for that matter, being countered. And it's hard to do. It's hard to get your kids to, I mean, literally, unless you have the resources to do it, I mean, you got to drive your kids maybe across town to that different school. Or for that matter, you got to afford the tuition at a private school. Or you need a tutor because they're not getting what they need because they're zip coded to a failing school. But you want your child to have the best opportunities, which means you as a parent or legal guardian want choice. You want the opportunity to say, you know what, not that one, but that one. I mean, if you go to a buffet, you're not required to eat just those tomatoes. You can bypass the tomatoes and pick up the olives. Well, that may be overly simplistic, but the reality is this. Education should be about the child, not about the system. And the teachers' union and the educrats, what they really want you to believe is it's about the system. It's all about the system. We don't fund education enough. And yet, if you ever ask them what's enough, they don't know. They don't have an answer for you. So I got one here from fee.org, dated July 8th, just last week. And it talks about the fact that there are alternatives out there that are more affordable. And they're things like, they call them private schools, low-cost micro schools, hybrid schools, learning pods. There's different opportunities there. And we have to be able to say that within the realm of education, that there are approved means by which parents can have a way to take their kids to a better place, but also, by the way, not necessarily to a better place with curriculum, but also to a place where they know their children are safe and where the values that the parents value are not devalued by the school. Too often what we're seeing right now is this complete reckless abandon of traditional values and the idea that since we have them in our school, they're ours and we can say what we want, do what we want, get them to think what we want them to think, regardless of whether... I even know for a fact, because I've got a copy of it, that curriculum I told you about that's in the Huntsville City Schools right now, which, by the way, was run out of Mountain Brook. A group that still calls themselves Mountain Brook Families, they heard about it, they got together, they went down to their school board, they shocked the Mountain Brook school board by showing up with 300 parents, and they said, what are you doing putting this curriculum into our phones, or into our kids? And, oh, by the way, they got it pulled. So, yeah, it can happen. Story on the Daily Signal, dated yesterday, 2 days ago. Storyline is preferred pronouns and more, what I saw at the teachers' union convention. This lady named Brenda Lepsack went to the National Education Association convention, she says, last week, and she says her worst fears were confirmed. She said public schools are no longer a safe place for families who hold traditional values or for families who believe that gender, as in male-female, is biologically determined. It was also evident, she said, the teachers' union is a lobbying arm of the Democrat Party. We've known that for a while, but it's interesting to hear a teacher say that. And by the way, there's a ton of conservative teachers in the ranks. Rank-and-file educators do not necessarily toe the line of the teachers' union, but they still pay dues. And those dues don't go to things that a lot of their families stand for. Well, this lady named Brenda Lepsack writes that what she saw demonstrated firsthand when each state delegate spoke during the three-day convention was that, first of all, every time they spoke, they were asked to give their state, their name, and their preferred pronouns. She heard people say things like he, she, they, and hex, whatever hex is. One delegate even announced that they had a uterus before addressing the assembly, which apparently she said was because it was something she thought we all needed to know. Why that's important? I'm a they, but I have a uterus. What a ridiculous way to introduce yourself. There's a resume builder. I went to the national convention. I went to the microphone. I was so proud because I said, I'm a they, and I have a uterus. Anyway, from what I observed, she says, the NEA's goal is for public education to be a training ground for political activism while demonizing anyone, including students and their families, who do not share those same political and sociological beliefs. She gives some great examples. She says, first of all, there were 110 motions that were discussed and voted on. Only 4 of those 110 motions that were voted on at the National Assembly remotely even addressed student academic achievement. Nearly half of the emotions dealt with motions dealt with things like identity politics, social justice, and ways to promote the goals of the Democrat Party. She said some examples of the motions were things like broad brushing the police as biased and corrupt, mocking the Second Amendment as a societal harm, fighting for preferential treatment for any and all groups considered to be, quote, marginalized, especially non-conforming genders and infinite sexual identities. She said fighting misinformation in the media was one of their things that they went for, but they don't define what that is, unless it basically means they don't agree with their views. Increasing abortion rights, adding seats to the Supreme Court, advocating for more queer representation on school boards, her words, not mine. These were all things at the NEA, the National Education Association Conference. Vice President Kamala Harris was one of the keynote speakers, who spent the majority of her speech calling Republican leaders in Washington extremists. I'm just telling you, that's the teachers' union. Well, when I talk about all that, then it may lay the framework for why we're concerned about this social-emotional learning. So, National University put out an article that I've got a copy of right here. Social-emotional learning and why it matters for educators. Now, this one's a few years old, and it points out the fact that, you know, the worst thing you want to hear is a kid saying, this is stupid, or why are we learning this, or for that matter, hating themselves. And it says, today, in an ever-diversifying world, the classroom is a place where students are often first exposed to people who hail from different backgrounds and hold different beliefs and have unique capabilities. Okay, I agree. It's called socializing. It gets your kids out and about. They understand that other people are out there with their own needs, and I get that, and it's good. Socialization is an important part. Even homeschool groups are also recognizing they need to find a way to socialize their kids, and then they get together in pods and have, you know, outings and that kind of stuff. Well, the five SEL competencies had always been things like self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship skills, making responsible decisions. But what's begun to happen now is those have begun to be defined in a far more liberal bent. Well, first of all, know this. Liberals never want to admit when they're headed down a path that we don't like as conservatives. They get all up in arms, like, why would you question this? Why? There's nothing to see here. Critical race theory is only taught in law schools as a theory. Okay, right. Well, SEL is the same way. And USA Today, on April 19th of this year, published an article where they basically cited all of the things that are happening and the fact that, you know, SEL is not bad. It's often referred to as SEL. It's been increasingly under attack by parents and politicians over the last year and a half, some confusing it with critical race theory, another hot-button issue among conservatives. Okay, we're immediately being dismissed. But then he goes on to say this important piece. A group called the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, that's CASEL, C-A-S-E-L, the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, was formed in 1994 by researchers, educators, practitioners. It coined the term social and emotional learning. It's the nation's leader in SEL instruction. So keep that in mind as I move forward. Because what I'm looking at right now is an article. Let's see, which one do I want? I'll tell you what I want. Let me do this. I've got two articles, both of which describe SEL and CASEL's efforts to change the doctrine in SEL. I'm going to hold that for the break. Copper, go ahead and take us to a break. Let's do that. I'm going to take the break. I'm going to come back so I don't start one and then have to shut it off and go to the break. Let's do it now. Get that out of the way. I'll come back. Folks, listen, I'm going to boggle your mind, make you mad. If you're not irritated when this section's over with, I'm just saying, you need to be, but irritated with a passion to do something about it. Like, I don't know, speak up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. By the way, I'm breaking away from my triple dipper 1 second to point out that I am looking at the both of the screens up here on the wall in the Right Side studio. Both of them have the live broadcast of President Biden doing a press briefing in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And in both of them, he's having one of those moments where you can always tell – He squints. He leans forward. He looks a little angry, like he doesn't want you to ask him a question, but he knows he has to let you ask him a question. And then he touches his face several times, and touching his face is like the clear indicator that he has just lost the train of thought. And now he's broke out in laughter, and he's leaning forward to the microphone. He's probably going to whisper. Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm going to move away from that right now. Hey, listen, I'm still in number one of the Triple Dipper. They want our kids. And I was talking about SEL, social emotional learning. A couple of articles here in my hands. The first one's from an organization called The Cut. TheCut.com, dated April of this year. Well, first of all, this one mocks conservatives, but that's what we're up against. Because they, like, who do you think you are calling this a Trojan horse? A Trojan horse for progressive ideologies. It's the quote-unquote latest child indoctrination scheme. Well, you know, they can mock it all they want to. But they even point at themselves. Across the country, it says, conservatives are increasingly mounting resistance to social-emotional learning. They call it the next level of paranoia. I call it the next level of you tried it and we caught you. And it points out the Florida Department of Education has recently, you know, gone pretty much on the warpath. They're finding some of this stuff in their textbooks and they're saying, stop it. Stop trying to sexualize children. Stop trying to tell kids they can pick whatever gender they want to be yesterday. No, just teach them about reading, writing, and arithmetic, please. Well, according to this article from thecut.com, we are looking at the next round of paranoia. But here's the thing. They point out themselves. CASEL, the organization I told you about a minute ago, the Collaborative for Education and Social Emotional Learning. It's extremely clear that CASEL and curriculums like something called Second Step want to use SEL to reprogram. This is a quote, by the way. They're quoting somebody else. Want to use SEL to reprogram children into social justice activists for particular causes, causes that make them question objective reality, reject familial, cultural, or religious beliefs, favor socialism over capitalism, and push them to believe that racial, gender, or class identity matters more than unifying as a human race, which is not good for them or our country. So they even acknowledge those are the things that have conservatives upset. So why should conservatives be upset? Maybe because the curriculum changed after Biden got elected. Story from the American Enterprise Institute, dated right around the same time, April of this year. It's called The Trouble with Social-Emotional Learning. AEI, if you're not familiar, AEI.org, you can check them out, the American Enterprise Institute. They're very conservative. They are an organization that that seeks to pursue some of the same things that this show stands for. The social-emotional learning sector, it says, has grown dramatically in a very short period of time. From November 2019 to April 2021, SEL spending across the nation grew by 45% to $765 million across the nation. It's likely soon to become, if it isn't already, it says, a billion dollar education industry. And during that short time, the ideological character of SEL has also changed substantially. Before I run out of time, let me jump to the point here. Here we go again. You ready? The Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning is the single most important entity within the SEL sector. That's CASEL again. CASEL is the lead proponent for all of this SEL curriculum. In 2020, it says, CASEL fundamentally changed the ideological character of SEL. Before, SEL was broadly a bipartisan enterprise. Even in 2018, the Betsy DeVos Department of Education under Trump touted it in their school safety report. In 2019, the Aspen Institute released a report on the promises of SEL from a bipartisan commission. Why then, it says, did the Washington Post just run an article last month titled In SEL Learning, the Right Sees Critical Race Theory? Well, and here's the point. It says it in the article. Because in 2020, CASEL began to infuse SEL with CRT-aligned ideologies. Used to be it was related to competencies and self-awareness and self-management, like I told you at the beginning of this segment. But it says back in 2020, those neutral competencies became value-laden, with values derived from left academic ideologies like CRT. Transformative became self-awareness, which encompasses identity, identity now being defined as intersectionality. Self-management encompasses agency, with agency described through resistance and transformative justice citizenship. Transformative SEL also embraces culturally relevant and responsive pedagogy. This approach was pioneered by Gloria Ladson Billings, a professor who also brought CRT into the K-12 education. It goes on to talk about the fact that it examines self-management as practicing anti-racism because anti-racism is systemic. Given that Castle sits atop the SEL ecosystem, it says, with an embraced partisan political agenda, it's not unreasonable for parents to suspect this near billion-dollar sector is largely an ideological enterprise, even to the point of sending materials home with kids, but suggesting that they take these surveys without the parents knowing, that include things even to the point of their sexuality and other things. I'm just saying, folks, they do want our kids, and we have to say no. Coming up next, I've got a caller coming in, Angela McClure. She's a candidate for school board. We will see what she has to say about an email she just got that kind of goes down these same roads from a local school. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.